It reminds me of the words you find in the Bible that we are a reconciling ministry, and the number one reconciler is Jesus Christ. He's called us to be his shepherds, to help reconcile the children of man. I'm going to turn the service over to our brother Jim Jr. I know his heart, and he desires to bring a message that would be helpful to you in your life. So I ask and pray that you be mindful of him and be mindful of yourself as he imparts the word of God to us this night. Brother Jim.
Thank you, Gordon. Good evening to each and every one of you. It was said earlier today, I believe it was Jerry that said it, that it amazes him sometimes how sermons and the speakers kind of coincide throughout the day when we're here to meet for the Lord, or across the country, that they have messages very similar in themes. And I say that because Gordon stood up here and read my opening scripture this morning. He felt it was important. Stephen read in the Book of Mormon, stopping one or two verses short of my third or fourth scripture I'm going to read. Very similar theme. So I'm just going to delve into it, and I hope that I can make my point that I feel that the Lord is placed upon my heart, and that it boils down to make sense. Because I will be the first one to tell you that I'm the weak link in all this. As I stand before you, there are those that can deliver the message far better than I believe. But the Lord uses different men for different reasons. So I would like to start this evening in John, the 15th chapter, reading the first and second verse, and then dropping down to the fourth and fifth verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Dropping down to the fourth verse. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, and without me you can do nothing. The world seems to miss a very important part here. They miss the part that we can do nothing to save our own soul. The grace of God was speaking to us. Christ himself was talking to us, and he was trying to drive home a point to farmers and people that grew fruit in the vineyards. And I thought Gordon did a very good job today explaining it. So I have one question to ask. Do we not understand that our soul salvation hinges on Jesus Christ? Do we not understand that there is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves that'll get us into the kingdom of heaven? Now I say that because the world preaches on grace. They really drive home what Paul had to say. So much to the point that they forgot one important thing. John in the 14th chapter, 15th verse, is if you love me, keep my commandments. There's so much belief in grace that they forgot that one teeny tiny verse. It's glossed over. since we've moved to Prescott, I don't have my talk shows. They're not up there. Some little podunk town. You know, I don't get to hear Dennis Prager. I don't get to listen to Michael Medved. So I've started to listen to more to what is available. A lot of religious commentaries. A lot of worldly preaching. And I hear all this talked about, and when they happen to read the scripture and they're about the new promise and a privilege and a prayer, they seem to totally gloss over the 14th verse. The 15th verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. Short verse. Matthew, the 5th chapter, 18th verse. I've got to read it because I can't read my own handwriting. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot nor tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. I hear this read a lot, and immediately they point to the Old Testament. The law. Jesus was talking about the law, the Old Testament being fulfilled in him. Therefore, it's totally new and change. They forgot that Christ taught the Ten Commandments in his Beatitudes. They forget that his very life was a personification of everything that he taught. And they forget that he set the example for us. And I'll get down to a scripture that explained that very important thing. And I don't want to get up here and sound legalistic, but it's important that we understand that God, through Jesus Christ, gave commandments that we must follow. We must follow. He also gave us an avenue that in our humanness, as we stumble and fall, that we'll be raised back up. But we have to be putting forth the effort to keep his commandments. In 3 Nephi, on page 651, we read that very thing. Christ speaking is 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter, starting in the 46th verse. This is right after the sacrament, which we had this morning. It wasn't to remind them, but it was to remind us. He taught them so they could teach us. And we read this from Christ. He said, therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And this is where, by the teaching of men, many have been led astray. They forgot that one verse. They forgot that one small saying that Christ told them and taught them. If you love me, keep my commandments. In the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi, I believe the 12th chapter, talks about how churches in the future will teach. We're in the midst of that. Our friends, people that we run into, they say they're good people, and indeed they are. But they are being misled. And they're not striving to keep all of Christ's commandments. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church and among my people, and who do repent and are baptized in my name. The commandment. Repent and be baptized. For those of you who are not baptized, live streaming here. It is a commandment. It is a requirement. The world teaches people, oh, if you just believe and say this prayer, you are saved. You are a Christian. Well, are you really? Because by definition, being a Christian is one that takes upon them the name of Christ wholly and completely. Not by just the words, but by deeds. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. So he has set the example for us. We know that he set the example because he was baptized by John the Baptist. He set the example. If Christ saw it was so important to be baptized, why is it that we think that we don't have to be? Let's go on in the 50th verse. And it came to pass that when Jesus had said these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation. He said unto you, he said unto them, he told them, just like he said unto them here in Jerusalem, if you love me, keep my commandments. 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter, page 108, in the Book of Mormon. Starting with the 43rd verse. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel, for he delivered his saints from that awful monster, the devil, and death and hell, and that lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. You can read about that in the 20th chapter of Revelation. But oh, great the mercies of our God. He, in so many words, told us over and over again that very short verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there are not anything save he knows it. And he cometh unto the world that he may save all men. If what? If they will hearken unto his voice. If they will hear what he has to say. For behold, he suffereth the pain of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, who belong to the family of Adam. And he suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, and all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. Some places in the Bible call it that great and awful day. Because when we stand before him, we will be judged. Judged for our works. Judged for the things that we do and say. But he suffered much to bring that resurrection about, to bring death into subjection. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they may not be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has spoken it. He told us. He warned us. And the Book of Mormon is very clear about it. He doesn't just say, if you believe, if you believe, if you repent, if you be baptized, if you endure to the end. That's why we have the added witness that we do, to make things plainer and clearer to us. And to bring part of my point about the Old Testament, speaking of Christ and things that we still have to do today, I'd like to turn over into Psalms 119th chapter, and reads verses 1 through 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. If you walk in the law of the Lord, that's not just the Ten Commandments. God didn't change between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Unchangeable. So you can just put in there, walk in the law of the Lord, and put in what Christ said in Matthew, my commandments. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, follow after me. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Put in there, he has commanded us to keep his commandments diligently. On that, my ways were directed to keep thy statute. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all of thy commandments. We don't get to pick and choose which ones we like. David didn't get to pick and choose which laws that he liked of the law of Moses. Neither do we get to pick and choose Christ's teaching and Christ's laws and his commandments. And we read in the scriptures where David fell and failed, and he suffered for it. But what's the one thing that David did? And I believe that's why he's in the Bible. He repented. He repented openly. He worshiped God openly in front of the people, and he repented openly in front of the people and said he has sinned. One of the hardest things that we have in our makeup is to say we were wrong. And here is the mightiest king on the land who's defeated every foe that came up against him, saying, I have sinned. I have wronged my God. I wish I could be that humble. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Forsake me not utterly. Once again, we can substitute Christ's words in there. I will keep thy statutes. Forsake me not utterly when I keep your commandments. Proverbs. The 8th chapter. verses 32 to 36. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Last time I spoke, I talked about wisdom and what it meant to be wise. Hear the instructions of God and be wise in your decisions and your choices and refuse them not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watches daily at my gate, waiteth at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me loveth death. Think about that. The last two scriptures there. Turn over into John, the 14th chapter. Christ speaking. I'll read the 21st and then the 23rd and 24th verses. Christ speaking, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Dropping down to the 23rd verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loveth me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear are not mine, but the Father which has sent me. That's what makes the words of Christ so important. He didn't just willy-nilly throw things out there to us. He kept his Father's commandments. God the Father told him what to say. In all that he did, he kept his Father's word. He kept his Father's will. And you see how the writer of Proverbs listened to what God had to tell him. Whoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. If you find life in Jesus Christ, you will find favor of his Father. But he that sinneth against him will have death to their souls. John 8. And I am using a lot of scriptures. I have a tendency to do so because I want to make sure that all that hear my voice understand, I'm not talking of myself. I talk to myself, but it's the gospel of Christ I'm to deliver. And the Lord knows how I lecture myself sometimes. When I try to examine the things I say and do in my actions. John 8, 28. To 32. Once again, Christ was answering people. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He told him, he does nothing of himself. And he that sendeth me is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And the Father, it's a promise, will not leave Christ, his only begotten Son. He will not leave us if we're trying to keep his commandments. He will not be there to stretch out his right hand to hold us in time of need, in time of sorrow, the time of great turmoil. He will be there. A lesson that was driven home to me this past year. When I saw nothing in my life but turmoil and struggles, myself and my family, my friends. You've heard me bear the testimony how I felt like I was spinning around. I knew he was there. I just thought I couldn't grab his hand. But evidently he had a hold of mine. I just didn't know it. 1 John, 2nd chapter. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world. And whereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Can't walk on both sides of the fence. We try to in our humanness. But are we lying to ourselves, are we lying to those around us if we go out and break his commandments knowingly and willingly? But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily, verily is the love of God perfect. Hereby know we that we are in him. He has said, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. He set the example before us. Brethren, I write no new commandments unto you, but an old commandments which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandments is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. What was the word that they heard from the beginning? This is Jerusalem. It was the Mosaic Law. All the prophets. I'm not saying that we're keep the Mosaic Law. What I'm saying is God had a purpose in everything that he did. And he set things in motion to bring about his great plan of salvation down to the point of Jesus Christ. The Mosaic Law was a schoolmaster that taught the house of Israel about Jesus Christ. That which we can go back and read all the prophets so that we can learn about Jesus Christ. And the laws that we have, the commandments that Jesus Christ told us were from the beginning of time. Because he was prepared from the beginning of time for our safety and our salvation. From Mosiah, we read this. Page 220. Mosiah, the second chapter, starting with the ninth verse. I say unto you, if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God, and his matchless power, and his wisdom, and his patience, and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come unto him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of this mortal body. I say that this is the man who receives salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind, which ever were, and ever since the fall of Adam, or are, or whoever will, whoever shall be, even unto the ends of the earth, and this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby men can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourself before God, and to ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. See that you do them. If you love me, keep my commandments. See that we do them. Why is it so important? I've read several scriptures here that said why Christ was prepared since the foundation, and our commandments came from God the Father from the beginning. In John, the 14th chapter, Christ tells us he is the way. We already read that in John, the 15th chapter, where he talked about the vine. We cannot live unless we're connected to the vine. We all seen in our own lives, if you cut a branch off a tree, it dies because it's not connected to the tree or the branch that it was cut from. Therefore, it does not get nourishment from the root. Thus are we. If we remove ourselves from God and God's people, we will not be nourished and fed and strengthened in a time of great need or need that we have. John 14:6. Not Matthew, Jim. Jesus speaking, Jesus saith unto him, I am the light. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Told him yet again in the upper chamber that you can't do it on your own. You have to come unto God by me. Matthew, we read the 7th chapter, we read this. And I'm going to read three scriptures that say the same thing but with different twists, which add truthfulness to me, because it's just three witnesses telling us the things that Christ has taught them. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Christ sent out the invitation, come unto me. He called all people to come unto him. And then they get lost when they start listening to the precepts of men and not unto the commandments which Christ taught. Third Nephi, page 675. Chapter 13, verse 11. And it's the same thing that we just read in Matthew, except it's reversed. It said, now it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, he said this unto his disciples, enter ye into the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to death, and many there be that travel therein, until the night cometh wherein men can do no work. As we read earlier, King Benjamin, this life, when this life is over, our work is done. So we have to look for that straight gate. We have to look in the scriptures to find that narrow path that will make us a peculiar people, even to so-called Christians of the day, a strange people, a peculiar people. That you believe in the scriptures. That you strive to keep his commandments. Luke, the 13th chapter. Starting with verse 23, Luke 13, starting with the 23rd verse. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them this, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Just because you profess with your mouth does not mean that you'll get in the gate. You can't just say, I believe. The devils believe. They know. And they try to deceive us. Then shall ye say, we have eaten and drank in thy presence, and hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye that are workers of iniquity. Look at in Matthew, the 25th chapter, when it talks about the 10 virgins and their lamps. What happened to the unwise? The door was shut. They were not allowed to come in. We can't change what we have done once we lay down this life. I forgot who said it this morning. We talked about the presence. Today is present. It is a present to us given by God that we have a chance to live, breathe, and to worship Him. In the past, we can only remember what we have done. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know how many more breaths we have, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us in this room. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But what can we know is that we can know within ourselves, if we are willing to keep His commandments and put on His armor, we can stand and do all that we can to fight against the adversary. We can strive to enter at that straight gate. We know that that gate is baptism. And that's just the beginning. It's just the start. Just like a baby when their first cry, when they take that first breath after birth, it's just the beginning. Their life is ahead of them. As a Christian, when we are baptized, it is just the beginning. Our life is in front of us, of a spiritual life. Depends on what we choose to walk. In 3 Nephi, in this 6th chapter, the 11th verse, I don't want to read the whole verse, I just want to say there, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we're to do. That is what our desire should be, is seeking the kingdom of God. It's also in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse. Seeking the kingdom of God. Seeking to keep His commandments. And know that, like in Matthew, one of my favorite readings, my favorite verses, Matthew 11, 28 and 30, says, come unto me. He's constantly calling. He's constantly teaching and directing. Constantly reaching out to help us in our walk, in our life. Constantly trying to motivate us to follow in His example. Now I'd like to end with a reading in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Verses, Ecclesiastes 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Should be our battle cry. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Thank you for your time.